Yoga is practiced all over the world in many different settings and for many, many different reasons. But some of the images that kind of spring to mind, I think, for many of us at the mention of yoga is sort of wellness sessions and lycra and $25 for a class or, you know, taking Instagram shots of yoga positions on top of cliffs. And they're pretty far removed from its actual origins in religious practices. Now, here to talk about what yoga signifies to different groups of people from India all the way to Bondi is Shamim Black. She's a fellow at ANU's Department of Gender, Media and Cultural Studies. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for talking to us on Breakfast. Now, what symbolism does yoga still carry in contemporary Indian society?
Well, it has a number of different meanings. There are definitely ways in which yoga is practiced within devotional and religious communities. So that is still a very, certainly a strong and living tradition. Mm. But there are also ways in which yoga has also developed within secular forms in India. It's often taken up for health or for wellness, just as it is in many other parts of the world. And there's also forms of yoga that have in some sense come from India, circulated through parts of the West, and then come back to India in forms that look very similar to studios that you might see in, you know, Sydney or other places.
Well, that's intriguing. So, I mean, are the secular kind of applications of yoga in India very similar to what we do in the West?
They can be. It depends really on where you go. So in some of the major urban centers like Mumbai and Delhi, we're seeing the opening of studios that, you know, look very similar. They have a similar feel. They sometimes use a very similar rhetoric to talk about how yoga is going to make you more fit or more, you know, to conform to a particular kind of beauty standard that is there. But then there are also many other places that take a very different approach and link yoga into extremely different kinds of practices. Sometimes they are run through, religious groups will hold mass yoga camps where that are decidedly unfancy but are very accessible to many people who would never be able to afford the price of Western-style studio classes.
Look, I'm quite curious about, for people who still do it from a religious practice, I mean, is there a kind of a distaste for the commodification and the Westernization?
There certainly can be. There are very much, I think, are definitely voices who are troubled in some ways by ways in which yoga has become part of consumer cultures, and they feel that in some sense there is something being lost. When I've gone to India and talked to senior practitioners there, they often say that yoga is a way of life for us. Yoga is not just a physical practice; it's something that really spills out into the entire way in which these individuals go through their lives, and from that perspective, it does look very different and sometimes disturbing to see yoga that is associated more with expensive lycra clothing, you know, for example.
Look, I mean, even in Western and Indian societies, we've seen sort of conflicting roles and meanings of yoga, as we've been talking about. I mean, can they be reconciled effectively, do you think?
Well, there are many people who are trying. Some people throw up their hands and simply say there are many kinds of yoga, and we won't. Historically, yoga has never had a completely singular meaning, or it hasn't been part of an unchanging tradition. It has meant different things in different times and places, and today is no exception to that. Except maybe the diversity is a bit more dramatic and more visible to. Mm. Others. But then there also are definitely some forces both within popular culture and within practice that are interested in saying, can we have it all? Can we have a practice that is part of a living consumer world, but that also does offer benefits to people that go beyond just the cultivation of a particular physical image, that have to do with creating a sense of depth or of deepened observation of people's bodies themselves?
That's got to be an amazing discussion to be having at the moment.
There are also many competing points of view, and many people feel a stake in what is out there. Some people feel very strongly that India should be front and center of the way yoga is presented in the world, and others feel that the traditions that come from India are really only one of the many ways in which yoga is evolving, and that its connections to places in the West or places in China or places in Southeast Asia are just as crucial.
Now, just finally, I know you've previously talked a little bit about a genre you refer to as yoga fiction. What is that?
Well, this is a really interesting and fun development, I think, in the popular representation of yoga. And there are certainly storytelling traditions about yoga in India that go back quite a long way. But what we're seeing in a very contemporary moment, the last decade or so, is the rise, as yoga has essentially become more part of a kind of Western mainstream, more and more people are taking that as the subject of novels, of memoirs, of fiction. And so they're trying to ask in some ways, what does yoga mean in my life? And that might mean something very different for each writer. But they're trying to reinterpret and translate the meaning of yoga, often within Western spaces, but also within contemporary Indian culture as well.
Shamim, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, Shamim Black, she's a fellow at ANU in the Department of Gender, Media and Cultural Studies. A lot of stuff there I did not know about the way yoga is treated around the world, especially fascinated by the idea of Western concepts of yoga making it back to India. Do you actually do any yoga? Tweet me up on @2SER if this is something you've experienced or something you practice yourself. I'd be very, very curious to hear from you.